Jake Chambers. This is the truth. She slid it across the desk to him, careful that their fingers should not touch. Jake took it and ran his fingers down the length of it. There was a piece of paper inside. Something else as well. A hard, narrow strip. He tore open the envelope and pulled out the paper. Folded inside it was the slim, white, plastic rectangle of a hotel mag card. The note had been written on a cheeky piece of stationery headed, "Calling All Blowhards." The message itself was only 3 lines long. "Dada chum, dada chi, not to worry, you've got the key. Dada chud, dada ched, see it, Jake, the key is red." Jake looked at the mag card and watched color abruptly swirl into it, turning it the color of blood almost instantly. Couldn't be read until the message was read, Jake thought, smiling a little at the idea's riddleish quality. He looked up to see if the clerk had seen the mag card's transformation, but she had found something which required her attention at the far end of the desk. And Callahan was checking out a couple of women who'd just come strolling in from the street. He might be a pair, Jake reflected, but his eye for the ladies still seemed to be in proper working order. Jake looked back at the paper and was just in time to read the last line. "Dada chum, dada chi, give this boy a plastic key." A couple of years before, his mother and father had given him a Tyco chemistry set for Christmas. Using the instruction booklet, he'd whipped up a batch of invisible ink. The words written in the stuff had faded almost as quickly as these words were fading now, only if you looked very closely, you could still read the message written in chemistry set ink. This one, however, was authentically gone. And Jake knew why. Its purpose had been served. There was no more need for it. Ditto the line about the key being red, and sure enough, that was fading as well. Only the first line remained, as if he needed reminding. "Dada chum, dada chi, not to worry, you've got the key." Had Stephen King sent this message? Jake doubted it. More likely, one of the other players in the game, perhaps even Roland or Eddie, had used the name to get his attention. Still, he'd run upon two things since arriving here that encouraged him enormously. The first was the continued singing of the rose. It was stronger than ever, really, even though a skyscraper had been built on the vacant lot. The second was that Stephen King was apparently still alive 24 years after creating Jake's traveling companion, and no longer just a writer, but a famous writer. Great. For now, things were still rattling precariously along the right set of tracks. Jake grabbed Father Callahan's arm and led him toward the gift shop and tinkling cocktail piano. Oi followed, padding at Jake's knee. Along the wall, they found a line of house phones. "When the operator answers," Jake said, "tell her you want to talk to your friend Susanna Dean or to her friend Mia." "She'll ask me what room," Callahan said. "Tell her you forgot, but it's on the 19th floor. How do you—" "It'll be the 19th, just trust me."
"I do," Callahan said.
The phone rang twice, and then the operator asked how she could help. Callahan told her. He was connected, and in some room on the 19th floor, a telephone began to ring. Jake watched the pair begin to speak, then subside into listening again with a small, bemused smile on his face. After a few moments, he hung up.
"Answering machine," he said. "They have a machine that takes guests' calls and then tapes messages. What a wonderful invention."
"Yeah," Jake said. "Anyway, we know for sure that she's out, and for pretty sure she didn't leave anyone behind to watch her gunna. But just in case." He patted the front of his shirt, which now concealed the Ruger. As they crossed the lobby to the elevator bank, Callahan said, "What do we want in her room?"
"I don't know."
Callahan touched him on the shoulder.
"I think you do."
The doors of the middle elevator popped open, and Jake got on with Oi still at heel. Callahan followed, but Jake thought he was all at once dragging his feet a little.
"Maybe," Jake said as they started up, "and maybe you do too."
Callahan's stomach suddenly felt heavier, as if he'd just finished a large meal. He supposed the added weight was fear.
"I thought I was rid of it," he said. "When Roland took it out of the church, I really thought I was rid of it." Some bad pennies just keep turning up, Jake said.